What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the TWC Stay Hated podcast. On this episode, I am joined by G and Nick of the band The World. Before I get into the details of the episode, just want to remind you guys, Patreon page is up and running, and it's a great way to support the show. The link is in the description. If you don't want to do that, if you could like, share, rate, subscribe, tell your friends, that's really helpful for the show as well. And if you don't want to do that, you just want to sit and listen, that's rad too, and I appreciate you guys. As far as the show is concerned, both G and Nick have a long history in playing hardcore music and alternative music. They have a really cool perspective on what the scene is about, the different evolutions of the scene, and what it's like being in a band, what it's like to be in a band that has a little bit of a different take on hardcore with different things mixed in, like hip-hop and all that stuff. Really cool episode, super down-to-earth guys, and really cool, and a totally kick-ass band. So if you haven't checked them out, make sure you do check out The World. That's all I got for an intro. I don't want to give anything else away. This is episode 144 of the TWC Stay Hated podcast. Enjoy it. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the TWC Stay Hated podcast. On this episode, I am joined by G from the band The World. I'm super stoked to have him on. I saw them play a couple weeks ago down in Cambridge, and I was like fucking blown away. I was super stoked on it, so I reached out, wanted to have him on the show. Saw that he does some graphic design work that I thought was really cool too, so I wanted to get a chance to talk about that. A guitarist from the band is going to be joining us at some point through here as well. His name's Nick. He'll be in a little bit. But yeah, I'm super stoked to have G on the show. We're going to get into some stuff. How are you doing today, man?
What's going on, Anthony? How are you? I'm good.
I'm chilling, man. I'm stoked to get into this, dude, because when I saw you guys at the Middle East, it was so funny because I went down there. I went to see Misery Signals. I know Jesse from Misery Signals, and I was like, I told my wife before I left, I was like, I'm not planning on coming out of mosh retirement. I'm just going to chill. I'm just going to like watch the show. And then you guys came on and I like saw the aesthetic and I'm like, I think I have a pretty good idea of like what type of music this will be like, you know, like whatever. And then like having Vain One come out and do a hip hop song. And I was like, oh shit, this is going to be tight. Like as soon as that popped off, I was like, okay, I'm going to fucking dance my ass off for this whole set. And I did. You guys are sick. How long have y'all been playing together? Are you guys relatively new? I know you guys aren't new to, like, the scene individually, but as far as the band, The World, like, how long have you guys been together?
So we were, as a band, our first show was in December. So we're about, like, 7 months, 8 months as a full, like, playing. And since we released our EP, but before that, we formed back during, right when the pandemic hit. So we're a pandemic band.
Worst time ever, but kind of a good time because cool. You can just be creative.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Like, I think this was the only positive thing to come out of the pandemic for me.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, I'm assuming you guys, like, all have backgrounds, like, playing in music. Like, I guess, like, let's just kind of get into, like, the real generic stuff. Like, how old are you now? And when did you find like hardcore and punk and like underground music?
So I got into like heavy music. I mean, I think it's like the same as everybody else's story for the most part when you're like coming up in the early 2000s. I mean, my first show was probably in 99. And it was like a diecast show in Boston. And I got into diecast when they were sounding towards, like they were sounding more towards their, you know, it wasn't like the Peacemaker days, you know? So even in that sense, I was like a little late to it, but now looking back at it, it was still a long ass time ago, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So it's fucking 20 years ago, dude.
Yeah. And it's just unreal to see how how much has changed since then, and how, I mean, we can get more into that later, but I'm pretty sure you know how, like, a diecast show back then was not the same as a show, like, any sort of hardcore show it is now, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I think that there's been, like, there's, like, waves of it, you know what I mean? And, like, I've kind of, like, experienced that with, you know, I didn't go to shows for a few years, then recently I've been going again, and it's, like, a whole other... It's different now from either what it was, you know, 6 or 7 years ago. There's like lots of change in like what shows like look like, and the way bands sound and the way bands look have kind of like, there's like some tried and true things, but a lot of things have kind of evolved. Were you playing music then? Like, were you like, yeah. Or were you just like going to shows?
So I was playing music even before I got into hardcore band. I was in this rapcore band way back before I started transitioning into hardcore. Like, I was listening to, you know, like Limp Bizkit and shit like that, and
sick
Slipknot. Sick. Slipknot, and but I mean the music that I was playing was not good at all, you know, but
I think we all kind of like have been through that, where you like
everybody. Like, yeah. I mean, everybody has, except for, you know, in one way or another.
Yeah. But I were you like playing shows and shit then, or was it just like kind of like homies in a basement, high school shit?
When I first started, yeah, it was just homies and shit. But then the first serious band I kind of got into was this band called Eyes Like Autumn, and it was this metalcore esque. It was all dudes from New Hampshire, and then I was in that for about a year, and then I started this band Since the Flood, which got pretty big.
Oh no shit! You were in Since the Flood?
Yep, I was in Since the Flood for a few years.
Sick.
And obviously, if you're familiar with them, like, you know the story.
Yeah, man. That I went to some show at the they played. Oh man, this was like 100 fucking years ago, at the Brick House in Dover. That was like completely sold out.
Shit.
Like,
yeah, yep.
Insanity, dude. Like, it was just fucking crazy. I was going to school in Worcester at the time, and we drove up for that show. It was fucking wild.
Yeah.
That, like, that era of hardcore in New England was fucking awesome.
It was popping for sure. And it's cool to see. I mean, I'm still cool with most of the dudes in that band too, you know, like I work with Luke, the drummer, and I still, you know, kind of keep in contact. I mean, I saw that, I mean, the last time I saw everybody together, unfortunately, was at a funeral, but yeah, they're all, it's just cool to see how it's, nothing's really changed since, like,
yeah,
the hype of that band, and how it kind of just, you know, just became just like a thing in the history, in the past, you know.
That's like that's one of those bands where, like, you, like, it's like the if you know, you know type shit with right. them, like, and like I have was it last year, the year before, I had a shirt like from a million years ago that, like, obviously it grew out of, it was like a fucking medium or whatever. And I always wanted another one. And by the time, you know, like, whatever, they were like impossible. I think last year they put out a shirt, or like some merch store put out a shirt, some Euro, store put out a shirt.
Yep. It was probably downright. Yep.
With like a big Boston, like the Red Sox logo on the back, I think, or something like that. It's got like big, like eagle with the wings, like the standard, like Since the Flood shit. And yeah, it's one of those shirts that, like, nobody, like, not a lot of people know who it is, but the people who know, they like always will fucking say something.
Of course,
because it was like it was like such a cool time in New England, like New England music. I remember seeing them quite a bit, and like that was like, I feel like that was a time, I don't know really, you know, I've been kind of like separated from the scene for so long, but that was during the time where like a local, quote unquote, local lineup would like sell out a small venue and kids would go fucking crazy.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. Yeah. It was cool to see that too, because I wasn't part of that whole era when, like the hype era, you know, I was more of the coming up, And I was bummed out, like, when I got kicked out. But, I mean, it made sense, and it was cool. But I really did, like, enjoy it. Like, that's really one of the bands that got me into hardcore, mm-hmm. as far as, like, wanting to play it, wanting to just know more about it. Before that, like, even our aesthetic when we first started as a band, like, if you heard our first demo, it was more on, I mean, they're considered metalcore sometimes, like, they can fit, like, in a metalcore show, like, they'll play with, like, yeah, some big metalcore sure. bands, but it was a lot different than the metalcore that I was playing before that, so if you ever hear that demo, like, I was even singing on it, too, like, I was screaming on it, and it's very embarrassing, but
it was a little like, it was more like, wasn't it kind of, wasn't the, didn't the demo have like two vocalists or like, or was that, were you?
No, that was Bury Your Dead. I mean, unless you're thinking of the, like the demo, I was, yeah, there was two vocalists because I was like the higher pitched one, but I was playing bass too. So it wasn't like two vocalists, you know?
All right. No shit. I was going to say, like, I remember hearing that and it was kind of like you said, it was more like in the metalcore vein. I like, that was one of those bands that like, they could play with like they wouldn't be out of place playing with Lamb of God, but they also could play like a Walls of Jericho, Bury Your Dead show. And
fit exactly. Well, yeah. Then that's what their whole, I mean, they did a lot of that.
Yeah. So you said we were talking before we started, you were in Hammer Bros as well.
Yep. So like after like a few more bands, like I scabbed for a bunch of bands after, but then like, I sang for this other band, and then I started, I mean, I didn't start, but I was asked to play in Hammer Bros, and that was the last band I was in until I kind of just took a sabbatical, you know? But that was 2010 or 2011 or something.
Okay.
So
sick. Yeah. So you took a while, and that was the last band that like their last like serious band you played in since. Like,
yeah. When we had a final show, that was the last show I've ever played.
No shit.
Yeah.
That's sick, dude. What made you, what kind of made you get the bug again to start playing music again and like doing gigs?
I mean, it's crazy because hardcore was the only thing that I really had like a genuine passion for.
Sure.
Like I'm very into a lot of things. Like it's funny because like I get into something and I like want to just like pretty much try to excel at it really quickly or like really just devote a lot of time to it. And I feel like I gotta like, but then I get bored with it, you know. And like I did that with music, like with like producing beats, like my graphic design. Like those are still all my passions, but hardcore was the only thing where it's like, it just stuck with me for the longest time and that I really, really like had this, it wasn't something that I just lost interest in. It was something more that just like turned me into somebody that I really was, you know, maybe who I was, is what I'm trying to say. And a lot of those values kind of came to play, like just going through life, you know, and dealing with a lot of the shit that happens where you have to be put into action with those values. And
yeah,
even if it's not even in your life at that time, like that shit teaches you. And then it kind of comes back full circle and it's like, all right, this is the reasons why, like I was into this in the first place. And it's helped me through a lot of things. So.
Yeah, dude, that's like, that's real. Like, I was talking to, I had, his fucking JP from Get the Shot was on and he was talking about, like we were talking about how, like the, I don't want to say maybe morals, but like, I guess that's kind of a good way. It's like something that
morals the hardcore and values, community,
yeah. Yeah. Like, it's like one of those things where it's like, if you grew up in the hardcore scene and you're at fucking dinner or you're at a club or you're at the park and you're with a buddy and fucking something happens, like you're both in it. Like it's like an immediate reaction that you'll like defend your friends or like, you know, like if it's fuck you, it's fuck all of you. And if it's like for us, it's for everybody. And I think that that's something that's like really stuck with me, like the hardcore, you know, like the values, like you said, like, you know, treating friendship like it actually fucking means something.
And I think that that's something that's kind of like the last subculture that that's like really prevalent in. You know what I mean? Like, right. that's the whole deal, right? It's like you're down for your homies, like, and willing to do whatever for it. And I think that that's like really cool. And a lot of people outside of the hardcore scene or like underground music in general, but specifically hardcore, like, they think it's just like a bunch of meatheads kicking the shit out of each other at a show or like flexing or whatever. But it's like way more than that. Cause you know, I've seen some of your posts from the world and your personal page. And like a lot of these dudes, like you've known for fucking 10 plus years.
Right.
And they're like still, and they're still like actual friends of yours.
Oh yeah. Yeah, of course. It's probably like one subculture that, cause I have a lot of, friends from different parts of my life that like I've met in one way or another, but it's like the most important subculture, plus also like the only subculture that I feel like that has like I've seen friends stay friends with each other for the longest time, you know, like if you're mm-hmm. different aspects or if you have different hobbies or different things that you want to do, there's people that just fall out like so quickly with each other because it's like all based off of just like either superficial shit or like just clout or
mm-hmm.
things that don't really sustain.
Yeah. And that stuff sort of like will show itself. Like you get exposed pretty quickly in like an aggressive culture like hardcore. Like if you're not actually down for it, like you get exposed as a fraud pretty quick. And I think that that's part of like what makes it kind of, you know, like special because, you know, even like outside of like the morality and the values and all that stuff, like when you're a kid and you go to a show and you get punched in the face or kicked in the stomach or whatever, and then you go to another show the next weekend, you're showing that you're like actually about it and you like actually want to be there because you've got to like kind of take your licks.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? It's like you go to a show and somebody fucking headwalks and you get kicked in the face and break your nose. Like, you're either going to go to a show again or you're never going to go to, like, you're either going to go forever. Or like you're never going to go back.
Yeah, it's like, that's usually what it takes. It's like the intensity. That's what kind of the high that you get off of just like, and it, the, like seeing all this shit, it's like you either fall in love with it or you're just never coming back. And yeah. I mean, obviously yeah. like it's also with age too. Like the young kids that are just impressionable and see something that's just so, so raw, so like, it's either it hits so close to home because of just your upbringing and it speaks to you in a way where it's like, this is where I belong. Or it's like, you're not used to this kind of environment whatsoever. You're a sheltered type of dude, but you never really can relate to like that lifestyle. It's something that just hits you where it's like, I want more of this, you know? And that's what I think happened to like a lot of me and my friends. Like, I mean, we all grew up different ways, but like, every time the first shows I went to, I was just so young and everything just scared the shit out of me. But it was like, yeah. I want to know yeah. why. Cause I'm not like that. I'm not like, it just was like, the only sort of passion that I just like really gravitated towards, you know?
Yeah, yeah. There's that like that second of, oh shit. And you're either going to go like towards it. Like how close can I get to this fire or like run away from it?
Right.
And, I love that. That's like, it, like I said, it exposes people who want to be there and who doesn't.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but I'm just real quick. I'm not disappointed that like it's gotten to this whole new, like, I don't want to be like an old head and just say, oh, like back in the day you had to,
sure. Yeah.
Like I'm glad that it's at this point where, you know, it's so accessible and that you see bands kind of just paving a new way of their success to
mm-hmm.
hopefully trickle down to all these other brands, the bands that kind of like look or aspire to get to that level. Because when I was doing it, I never really looked at it like that. I just looked at it as playing music. But then it's also something where it's like, it would be really cool to have a lot of people get into the music that I write, you know?
Yeah, fucking right, like, dude. Like, it's way more fun to play to a room of fucking 500 people than it is to play to a room of 15. Like,
and that's
even
the thing,
even
And these shows nowadays, it's like we've only played probably like, I want to say 13 shows like this year or since we've been a band. And it's just cool to see that there's a lot of reasons why it's at this point, but it's like when I was playing shows with my older bands, we played in front of 5 people, 8 people, like
right.
spots like yeah. just like a storage yeah. units and like random kitchens and shit like that, you know, like just random spots. But then these shows, it's just cool to see because it's like a whole new era that I've never experienced playing in a band. I didn't have the Instagram yeah. era or the social media era. I just like to actually play in front of like 200 people each night, like, you know, 200 plus. It's really cool.
Yeah, bro. And it makes like the social media stuff, like you said, you don't want to sound like a fucking like some old salty dude, but it's like it is. The social media stuff is rad. I mean, like between bands, like I didn't catch the name of your fucking band when you guys were playing, and I was like, this is fucking dope. In between sets, I went outside, got on my phone, found you on Instagram, followed it, was like, fuck yeah, make sure I'll always check these guys out, you know what I mean? And that shit's like makes it really cool, you know what I mean? And like, just to touch on something you said before, like the new wave of kids, like that was rad too, because like mid set Matt's like, yo, give it up for this kid. Like, that's the next generation of hardcore. And there's some fucking, like, I don't know, he's like 13, 14 year old kid. Yo,
that girl made my fucking year. What's up? What's up, by the way?
Hello, Nick. Welcome, buddy. So you play guitar, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, so the guitar player for the world, Nick, is on now. I saw you join. It's like awkwardly sitting in silence for a few seconds.
Well, you guys were really fucking getting into it. So I didn't want to interrupt you.
Well, no, it's all good, bro. Yeah, like, that was so sick. Like, yo, this is the fucking, you know, the future of hardcore. And I was like, fuck yeah, dude, because... Yeah.
No, it's awesome to see that shit, man. I want to bring my kids to shows, but they won't be into it.
Yeah. That's the shit that will bring it. That'll make a fan for fucking life, though, of, like, the genre, because that kid's going to be stoked on that moment. And everybody in the room, it kind of, like humanizes like everything, where it's like, yo, like, it's important to keep this alive, because like you said, like, I don't know if he'd said it when we were recording, when we were talking before, but it's like stuff comes in cycles, right? Like yep. the new bands kind of sound like the old bands kind of sound like the new bands. Like hardcore is one of those things. Like if you listen to hip hop now, it sounds way different than it did in the 90s. If you listen to hardcore now, it's pretty fucking similar.
Yeah.
Like, yep. you know, it's like, it's a lot of it is just like, you know, like blacklisted 2.0. You know what I mean? Like a lot of it is just kind of stuff done again, which is fucking sick. Nick, let me welcome you to the show.
Thanks, man. Sorry, I'm late.
No, it's all good. Thanks for jumping in. Give us like a quick background, like how long have you been playing music and when did you find hardcore?
Oh man. So I picked up a guitar when I was 5. And my dad just kind of threw me some Santana books, told me to learn that shit, and I was about sick. It ever since. Yeah, definitely.
sick.
Hardcore, kind of find my place in it, I want to say around like 2004, 2005. Like you guys were talking about, I went to my first show and people were just kicking the shit out of each other, and I was fucking terrified, man. But it's nice to have that feeling still nowadays that bands are still bringing that feeling. You know what I mean? Because that's the whole reason I went. And that kid that was at our show... You know, like, it's good to see kids that young still, like, so interested. Like, I see that kid at every fucking show, every word to every fucking band. So it's really cool that, like, kids that young are still so interested in this shit.
Yeah, and especially, like, in the, like, it's an exciting culture if you know what it is, right? Like, if you know what hardcore is, you can look at it and you're like, oh, this is... It's violent, it's fucking loud, it's aggressive, it's got a cool aesthetic, whatever. But like, if you don't really know what it's about and you see it from the outside, you're like, what's up with all the sweaty fat dudes with beards beating each other up with flat rims on? Yeah. Like, it's like, and with like kids now, where it's like kind of drive-through culture, where it's like, it's all this stuff that's like a, you know, TikTok 15-second video. Like, to see young kids still being interested in something that has like really strong set of like core values, for lack of a better term, is fucking rad. Like,
but
to me, that's really cool.
I do like seeing some of the newer faces like every here and there, because, you know, I played hardcore my whole life, but I've also played a lot of different things. We like to kind of stay like diverse in like the music world. So
sure.
It's cool seeing people that, you know, weren't really into this a couple of years ago. Now they, you know, for whatever reason, something, you know, caught their ear, caught their eye, whatever you want to say. And, you know, so to me, like someone that comes from all different backgrounds, it's cool seeing that.
Yeah. That used to be kind of like, that was kind of like an old, like, way of thinking. I remember like when I was getting into, you know, alternative music, my sisters were much older than me. They were going to like Tunnel Rat shows and Unseen shows at the Elvis Room in Portsmouth, like the fucking early 90s, like that sort of shit. And back then it was like, oh, you haven't been about this forever, like fuck you, like you're a poser. And now it seems like the scene's kind of opened up to these like multi-genre shows.
Yeah,
where there is like that cool thing. So like, let's talk about that for a second, because that's something I think is, I've always loved like the hip hop influence in hardcore. I think a lot of people don't like connect those two things together. But like, if you look at a lot of the like vocal patterns or like the groove and the bass and drums, like a lot of that stuff, it's like if you put a beat, an 808 instead of the fucking chug riff, it's basically just like a heavy hip hop beat. Yeah. So like, what made you guys, like having like, you know, Vane One come on and do his thing before you guys go, and like your aesthetic, like how did you guys connect those dots? Cause it's like, it's very like I remember it was years ago, like MySpace era, like Black My Heart, they're like tagline on their MySpace was like bouncier than a fuck in a truck.
And yeah, I remember that. I thought that was so corny.
Dude, I'm like, like when I hear that, like when I hear that, and I like when I saw you guys, like, you know, after he did his shit, and like you guys started playing like a floor tom part, I'm like, oh fuck, this is like that bouncy hardcore. Like, I love that. How did you guys like decide, or did you guys decide on that sort of like aesthetic sound, all that shit, or was that just something that like naturally happened because like that's a homie and that's someone you fuck with and all that?
All right, G, you well, go first.
Go ahead, Nick.
I'm just going to say something quick. It was kind of like you see a lot of bands now like trying to be different. I think the whole thing was trying to be a little different while also staying in your realm, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll let G polish that one off.
Are you done, Nick?
Sorry, dude. Sorry, bud. Go ahead.
No, he pretty much nailed it on the head. I just, I was, Like Nick sent me the song. Well, him and Maddie sent me the song that they wrote together, and it's got that whole vibe of like New York / some Merrimack Valley shit.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, I really want, that's like the band that I was like, if I was gonna start a band again, it'd be very similar to this, but like with something current, or like something a little bit, something that would just help us stand out. And I was this made more sense for me to kind of jump in there and add that element of
spice, baby. That spice. I mean,
when I was producing music for a long time, like it's just, you just hear shit, you know? And it's not like I was like, oh, I want to make this into like a hip hop crossover hardcore band, because I don't think that's necessarily what we are. We just have a lot of elements that have the same, that just fit, you know, if you have someone kind of listen to it and hear, like I heard something and I wanted to put that, like just add something that I thought would fit for it, even if it's not like the similar or the same genre, you know?
Sure.
Some genre, it's not really genre bending, but it's just like, I just wanted to elevate it. So, and obviously producing hip hop and producing like electronic shit is like shit that I'm kind of familiar with. So it just helped out, I think. Create that sound.
Yeah, I really like, I it was interesting because I was like, I gotta find that fucking track. Like, I didn't realize it was on the record, so I'm like digging through the fucking internet.
Which trying one's
to find it, the hip-hop song, like, oh, I was okay, like, yo, right. Like, what the fuck, like, I was like, I gotta fucking hear this, like, you know, like I want to hear it in my truck. And I'm like digging through the fucking internet, like trying to find, like, where the fuck is, like, how am I gonna find this? Found it on YouTube. It's like, all right, cool. And then like put on the record. I was driving home from that show actually, and then it came on. I was like, oh fuck, they put this on the record. That's so sick.
And funny story about Vane too is that it's such a small world, because a lot of people don't really know, like, I mean, a lot of people see him at the shows, they don't really understand the position or whatever. So I'll just clear it up, because me and Vane, we linked up through Maddie. They were homies for a while. I didn't even know Vane was into hardcore back then. We only linked up on like some music tip that I was producing, and he was rapping, and we just I threw him some beats, and like that's how our relationship started. And he would come to my, he would come from Texas and chill with Maddie when Maddie's in Boston, and you know we just kick it. And then we've had that song together that was even before the world, for some of us, that's on the EP. And that's kind of just something where it's like, you know what, I'm going to throw this on here because it just sounds like, all right, like I want to, it ties in with the whole vibe that we're trying to accomplish with the sound, you know. Yep. It makes sense to have like that song on there. And then he is now just like an official member of the band, you know.
That's so sick. Yeah, I was like, I heard somebody on stage say something like, before you guys started, like, oh, it's a fucking hip hop show now, and I was like, what is gonna happen right now? And then yeah, like, that was me. Dude, I was hype on that. Like, I think that stuff is cool, and having something that. It kind of like separates, like you said, it's like, but it's not forced. Like it's, you can tell it's authentic.
Yeah.
And that's the big thing. Like that sort of stuff is like, you can see through it so easy if it's fucking bullshit or if it's forced. Like if it's just like, if you were doing that just to stand out, just because like whatever, it's very obvious, but you can tell it's like authentic and genuine. And that's like, I think that's really cool. Something I wanted to touch on too, I don't know how much we'll be able to get into it, but like people outside of hardcore, if they hear the music, right? Like, and they don't know what it looks like, they're definitely going to think like, and they don't know anything about like genres, they're going to think like angry white boy music. You know what I'm saying? And that's like, kind of like, dude, it just, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's like when I was growing up, like,
where are you going with this?
like, that's what, you know what I'm saying? Like people would be like, oh, like angry white boy music. That's like what they think when they think of like metal or punk or hardcore or whatever, you know? And obviously that's not the case. And you guys are like really vocal about like, or at least Matt is like, you know, on his Instagram, I see like some of your stuff. It's like very like,
diverse. Like, yeah.
Diverse and loud about being like, yo, like kind of like equality and all that stuff. And like,
hardcore's for everyone, man. Hardcore's for everyone. Always will be.
Yeah. And that's fucking sick because like, I think people who don't know the community might think that to not be true.
Those are the people that would just kind of 86 themselves out of the community then, you know, or the people don't want to think like that. That's why it's like, all right, well, we don't really need you to be a part of this anyways. So,
yeah. When you got a one way, you know, way of thinking, you don't really last long in things like this, you know, and that's why we've been around for so long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's fucking rad, dude. And I think that it's cool to have like, because I think like the, you know, like the real like woke stuff and whatever, like people can maybe kind of perceive that as soft, but it's sick as fuck to have like tough music. Yeah, it's like, it's sick, dude. It's like tough as fuck music. It's aggressive. It's, you know what I mean? Like the shows are violent, all that stuff. And it's also like, yo, everyone is fucking welcome here and fuck you if you think otherwise.
Always. Right. Yep.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a huge part of like the hardcore community that people might be missing. Have you guys caught any shit? I doubt you have, but I'm just curious. Like, have you caught any shit like within the scene for being open about that stuff or loud about that stuff, or like has anyone ever popped off?
I think we do a pretty good job at staying away from all the bullshit, you know.
100%, not at all. Like, I mean, I'm saying, I think everybody's supportive. Everybody knows what it's about. Like, who would really want to question what we do, especially if it's, you can smell the fucking credibility from like, I mean, there's not, no one, I mean, if they wanted to question that, then they're just, it's not going to end well.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of goes back to what you were saying about Vane, you know, like some things you can't fake, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's like, it's cool like to see it be so genuine from you guys. Like, you can just tell like because there is so much like false, fraudulent type bullshit, especially in music and on the internet and stuff. And to see you guys like preaching that shit, being about that shit, and it's not just talk. You guys like obviously walk that walk and are really vocal about it. It's fucking awesome. As far as playing shows, touring, all that stuff, do you guys have like plans for that, or are you guys like just doing the local thing now, or like where are you guys at with all that? Are you guys trying to like
we're actually doing the whole thing? Yeah, we're actually doing the polar opposite. We're gonna go out to California in September. I can't wait for that.
Sick. Sick. Like a full, like, are you doing a run out there? Are you just going to play a show out there? Like, how's that?
We're just doing a short weekend. We're going out there, E-Town Concrete, Lionheart, Momentum.
No way, dude. What a fucking lineup.
And then, there's the Northern Alliance with a bunch of bands. You know, get on our shit. Check it out. But yeah, that's going to be a fun one. I think the whole like point of it was like not to be that local band again, you know what I mean? So just get out there as much as possible. And we're lucky enough, like G said, to have support from so many friends. And, you know, we got lucky enough to get added onto this. And yeah, the bill is fucking insane. So I can't wait for that.
Do both of you have like kind of like extensive experience touring and stuff? As far as like in the U.S.,
I wouldn't say extensive. G's been around for, you know, a grip. He could tell you that. No one needs to explain that shit. I've done some tours. I've done a couple shows here and there. We've been playing our whole life, so it's not really like a first rodeo thing for us.
Yeah. So have you noticed like a difference in vibe based on like East Coast, West Coast, Midwest? Because you know, like just being like, you know, I've played in bands, but nothing serious. And it's like just going to shows and seeing videos and stuff. It seems like there's a texture to like Northeast hardcore that's like fucking different than anywhere else. Not to say anywhere else is not as good or whatever, but there's definitely something different about East Coast shows than the ones that I did when I went to Ohio and shit.
It's all exciting. Especially if it's like where you're from, you know, Northeast will always have like the hardest shows, but, and I'll always say that they're the best shows too. But I mean, everywhere else has a different feel for it too. Like LA has got like a whole, like they're killing it out there too. And I'm not saying anybody's better. It's just, it's a different vibe it's always like a different vibe, but it's always a good vibe, you know? Mm. And that's the only thing, that once that starts to not be a good vibe, it's like, then what am I doing here? You know?
Right.
So as long as that feeling is still there everywhere you go, and you just want to play and you love going to shows, and you know, you're there for a reason, even if you don't watch all the bands, but you just love being there, then it's like, that's hardcore. I mean, to me, you know?
Yeah. There's something about that. Like you said, like, even if you're not watching every band, if you're like at shows hanging out, there's like, I don't know if you guys remember the venue in Manchester, like Rocco's, that was like kind of more of like a metalcore type thing. But that was like a place that I went to a ton of shows. My old band played there forever and like whatever. That's something that I think people outside of the scene might not know much about. It's like the hangs in the parking lot at a hardcore show.
Yeah, the best.
Hit fucking different. Yeah. Like,
Airbnb hit different too, man.
Yeah. What's that?
I said the hangs from the Airbnb also hit different too.
I think that's like that whole like I think people probably get sick of me talking about it on here or whatever, but the whole like brotherhood, friendship like of the community is like one of those things where there's like a commonality to everybody at those shows, right? So it's like I went down, when I saw everybody down, like when I went down to that show, like, you know, I ended up talking to quite a few people that like I don't fucking know these people. Like I went by myself, like I ended up hanging out with a couple of different people and like talking to a few dudes, and like that common, like we're all here for the same reason thing, I think it's one of the last places you can actually do that.
We're at a hardcore show.
Yeah, definitely. like I'd say like underground music as a whole, but like specifically at a hardcore show, you can like vibe with somebody.
Yeah, I love talking to different people and just seeing like the different perspectives from everyone, you know, and that kind of goes back to like the different states and stuff. Like that was my favorite part. I never went anywhere like, all right, who's going to be harder than what, you know, whatever. I just like seeing the different attitudes from people in different places, you know? So I'm with you, dude. I'll go up and talk to like fucking anybody.
Is there like a spot or a venue that has like surprised either of you guys, like where you were like, oh, we're playing in fucking Arkansas, this is gonna be terrible, and then like you show up and you're like, this is fucking crazy and awesome?
There is as far as our band goes, there is this spot called the Empire Underground in Albany.
Okay.
It was the last day of our tour. We were all fucking shot, man. We were ready to go home and we didn't really expect much. It was on a Sunday and holy fuck, man, they pulled up. That venue's fucking amazing. The people there are super fucking cool. But the people, like the reaction, like they never heard of us, dude. And they went as hard as they were like, you know, going for their favorite band. So the love there was fucking wild.
Yeah, that's always awesome to hear, like, especially like when it's like a surprise.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're like, you'd rather that than like the, you think it's going to be sick and it ends up being a dud.
Yeah. And it was another one of those, it was one of those things too, where like, you know, I don't know, it's like practicing. The more shows you play like in a row, like every show gets better and better. So not only did the place like definitely pull up, like the reaction was fucking crazy, but it was like one of the best shows we played, and everything just worked out. And yeah, it was a total surprise.
Hell yeah, that's sick. Well, yeah, we're kind of like rounding off, cutting around 40 minutes here. I like to end the show with a couple questions, and there's two of you, so you guys can both answer. But I think it's important to talk about like personal growth and personal development. Like obviously, if you're the exact same person you are now, like 20 years ago, like you haven't learned very much, like, you know, we should be growing. What's like some advice that maybe you guys would give yourselves, as young men that maybe you wish you knew back then, that you know now? It could be like in regards to playing in bands, it could be life, it could be whatever. Like what's something that you wish you had known back in the day?
I would say just try to be as confident in who you are as possible. I know it's hard for young people to do that. And, you know, obviously experiencing different shit helps them grow. But I mean, that's the only thing that I would say. My confidence back then wasn't as I was still very insecure about things and have bad anxiety about shit, but I'm a lot more confident in what I know what to do, and instead of just having to do things that I think is what you're supposed to do, or do things just to be accepted, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
So just be confident in who you are and what you like, and just be happy and content with whatever you do, you know?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Nick, what about you, bud?
I would probably tell my younger self just to, you know, be patient. I kind of rushed everything I did when I was younger, and, you know, I wish I took more time doing things. And now that I have, you know, I'm still pretty intolerable to most fucking things, but patience is definitely key. And I would definitely tell my younger self not to worry so much about, you know, what people like and don't like. You know, I put out too much music, wrote too much shit, and I was so insecure whether people liked it or not. And now it's just fuck it, send it, just do it.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Both very good fucking points. Well, dude, thank you guys so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. I know it's kind of a shit show getting going here, but I appreciate you guys.
Finally got it done.
Yeah, dude. Hey, I appreciate you guys taking the time. I know, like, you know, people are busy and shit, so I understand. As far as social media, where people can find you, you want to give out your personal stuff. G, you want to pump your graphic design stuff, all that shit. Like, where can people find you guys and the band and all that stuff?
So the World Compound on Instagram and Twitter. I mean, it's something along those lines. World Compound on any social media platform, just because the world is so, you know, that's
everyone's the world.
Broad. Everybody's so broad that. And for my design shit, you can find me at g.made.me on IG.
Cool. Nick, what about you? You got social?
Oh, everyone knows, man. I'm Mr. Miyagi. And if you haven't found me by now, you're looking in all the wrong places.
Sick. Well, thanks a lot, guys, for coming on. I appreciate it. Hey, everybody else, make sure that you're following my personal page. It's AnthonyCW13. The trigger warning page is trigger_warning_conjugate. And then the gym page is AnchorAthleticsNH. Make sure you follow that shit. Follow up. We got a meet coming up. We haven't really announced December 10th. So keep your eyes peeled for that. That's what we got for today. Thanks again for listening to the Stay Hated podcast. And as always, stay hated, motherfuckers.